Dear friends in Christ, on this most holy night in which our Lord Jesus passed over from death to life, the Church invites her members dispersed throughout the world to gather in vigil and prayer, for this is the Passover of the Lord, in which by hearing his word and celebrating his sacraments, we share in his victory over death. Let us pray. O God, through your Son, you have bestowed upon your people the brightness of your light. Sanctify this new fire, and grant that in this Paschal feast we may so burn with heavenly desires that with pure minds we may attain to the festival of everlasting light through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The light of Christ. Rejoice now, heavenly hosts and choirs of angels, and let your trumpets shout salvation, for the victory of our mighty King. Rejoice and sing now all the round earth, bright with a glorious splendor, for darkness has been vanquished by our eternal King. Rejoice and be glad now, Mother Church, and let your holy courts in radiant light resound with the praises of your people. All you who stand near this marvelous and holy flame, pray with me to God the Almighty for the grace to sing the worthy praise of this great light. Through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with him in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly right and good, always and everywhere, with our whole heart and mind and voice to praise you, the invisible, almighty, and eternal God, and your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb, who at the feast of the Passover paid for us the debt of Adam's sin, and by his blood delivered your faithful people. This is the night when you brought our ancestors, the children of Israel, out of bondage in Egypt, and led them through the Red Sea on dry land. This is the night when all who believe in Christ are delivered from the gloom of sin and are restored to grace and holiness of life. This is the night when Christ broke the bonds of death and hell and rose victorious from the grave. How wonderful and beyond our knowing, O God, is your mercy and loving kindness to us, that to redeem a slave, you gave a son. How holy is this night when wickedness is put to flight and sin is washed away. It restores innocence to the fallen and joy to those who mourn. It casts out pride and hatred and brings peace and concord. How blessed is this night when earth and heaven are joined and we are reconciled to God. Holy Father, accept our evening sacrifice, the offering of this candle in your honor. May it shine continually to drive away all darkness. May Christ, the morning star who knows no setting, find it ever burning. He who gives his light to all creation and who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Let us hear the record of God's saving deeds in history, how he saved his people in ages past, and let us pray that our God will bring each of us to the fullness of redemption.
A lesson from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said,
let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters.
So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said,
let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.
And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit of trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it.
And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said,
let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth.
And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said,
let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the dome of the sky.
So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying,
Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said,
Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind.
And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them,
Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.
God said,
See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.
And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
Let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature. Grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A lesson from the book of Exodus. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses,
"Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt?"
"Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone, and let us serve the Egyptians."
It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.
But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go after them. And so I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and his chariot drivers. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his chariot drivers."
The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said,
"Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting them against Egypt."
Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers."
So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them,
"Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea."
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, whose wonderful deeds of old shine forth even to our own day, you once delivered by the power of your mighty arm your chosen people from slavery under Pharaoh, to be a sign for us of the salvation of all nations by the water of baptism. Grant that all the peoples of the earth may be numbered among the offspring of Abraham and rejoice in the inheritance of Israel. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book
of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me,
"Mortal, can these bones live?"
I answered, "O Lord God, you know."
"Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'"
So I prophesied as I had been commanded, "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones,
I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord."
And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me,
"Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live."
And so I prophesied as the Lord commanded. Thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet a vast multitude. Then the Lord said to me,
"Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say,
Our bones are dried up.
Our hope is lost.
We are cut off completely.
O my people, I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people.
The Lord will put the Spirit within us.
And we shall live.
And the Lord will place us on our own soil.
Let it grow and sprouting more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the Passover of your Son, you have brought us out of sin into righteousness and out of death into life. Grant to those who are sealed by your Holy Spirit the will and the power to proclaim you to all the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Through the Paschal mystery, dear friends, we are buried with Christ by baptism into his death and raised with him to newness of life. I call upon you, therefore, now that our Lenten observance is ended, to renew the solemn promises and vows of holy baptism, by which we once renounced Satan and all his works and promised to serve God faithfully in his holy Catholic Church. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will. God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life by his grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who made this most holy night to shine with the glory of the Lord's resurrection, stir up in your church that spirit of adoption which is given to us in baptism, that we, being renewed both in body and mind, may worship you in sincerity and truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried by him, with him, by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side.
and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Does it feel like something's missing? That's usually my first response to the gospel reading we have tonight, Mark's story of the women and the empty tomb. We've just had all this glorious buildup of songs and stories, of darkness turning to light, of finally ending our 40-day fast and being able to shout out the word Alleluia. And then what? While we know that the resurrection of Jesus must have been a paradigm-shifting, mind-boggling, earth-shattering event, we have almost no hint of that in tonight's brief gospel. What we have instead is three traumatized women who are struggling to make sense of a world that seems to have gone mad. These are women who loved Jesus, who followed Jesus, who believed in his message of love and reconciliation, and they have just witnessed his brutal murder at the hands of the state. Their own religious leaders colluded with the forces of empire and domination to kill an innocent man. Their own friends and loved ones, the men who had seemed like the closest of followers, betrayed and abandoned him. At this moment of unspeakable loss and terror, these women have nothing left but one another and the aching, echoing grief that binds them together. When the state-sponsored violence spins out of control, when neighborhoods become war zones, when the bombs are dropping and bullets are flying and there is no safe place to hide, it is most often the women who are left to hold the broken shards of a nation, of a society, of a family. I saw that in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014, and it's a reality that has been repeated throughout history. It was three Black women, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi, who started the Black Lives Matter movement because they could not stand the death of another innocent Black child at the hands of police. It was women, especially Black and brown women, who led the movement to resist police brutality in Ferguson and in all our communities. It was women, especially Black and brown women, who organized rallies and marches against white supremacy. And it was also women I knew, who kept their cars stocked with bottles of water and milk of magnesia to counteract the dangerous burning of tear gas as it tore through the eyes of those who dared to protest peacefully in public spaces, who dared to say out loud that their lives had value. Tonight, in Gaza and in other war-torn regions around the globe, still there are women holding the dying and dead in their arms, unable to stop the waves of violence that keep crashing over their families and homes, in what must feel like an endless and unendurable assault on their very humanity. So, I am sure that the three women who got up very early to tend to the body of their beloved on that dark morning so long ago were not the first to courageously offer tenderness and holy practicality in the face of violence and oppression, and nor would they be the last. If it seems like something is missing from this story, because we don't get the flash and spectacle of a human being rising from the dead, perhaps we need to look more closely at what is there, what we do have in this story. We have these three women, Jewish Palestinian women, who go on in spite of all they have lost. We have a testament to the human spirit, a reminder to men and women and people everywhere that sometimes you step forward in love even when faith and hope seem to have fled. You keep going even when you don't know how you will do it, even when there doesn't seem to be any way you can roll away the stone of despair that is blocking your path. And we have a risen Christ whose very absence at this moment in the story is the greatest sign of his love. Jesus is not there at that tomb because he is going ahead of them. Jesus goes into the very depths of hell and in so doing breaks the bonds of sin and death forever. Jesus goes ahead to prepare a place for us. Jesus goes ahead so that we will never have to face our terror and anguish alone, ever again. Whatever terrible things life throws at us, we will never be left entirely to our own devices. That is very good news. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even surrounded by barbed wire and with broken glass underfoot, we will find Jesus there ahead of us. Jesus will have been there first, and Jesus will stay with us through it all. If it feels like something is missing because we don't get fireworks or rainbows and unicorns and chocolate rabbits, then we have set our sights too low. When the Easter story offers us, it offers us new life in Christ, new and unending life, everlasting life. The tomb is empty because the body of Christ is being transformed into something that no earthly space can contain. God has already rolled away the stone and is waiting for us to follow, waiting for us to keep showing up for one another, waiting for us to be witnesses to the resurrection for all who come after us. The only thing missing is us. Now is the time. Now is the appointed hour. Let us walk in newness of life together. Amen. Please rise. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You may be seated, for I won't really do announcements, except to say welcome and thank you for being here. And it's so wonderful to have this group gathered here tonight on this holiest of nights. We have communion coming up next. And if you haven't been here for a while or haven't been here before at all, you may need a reminder that you come down the center aisle for communion, and then there are two stations there is bread that is dipped into, well, it's really hosts that are dipped into wine on this side, if that's what you prefer, or you can come to this side and the bread and the wine are separate. So you can have a host and or have the wine from the chalice. You get to come down the middle and decide which side and then go back around the side aisles. And all are welcome to receive communion here at St. Martin's. There's information in here about our Easter offering. We don't keep the money that we receive from people at Easter. It goes out to worthy organizations. And this year, we've chosen to send it to two places. We're sending it to the Belfry, which is the Episcopal Lutheran Ministry, campus ministry here at UC Davis, and also to Episcopal Relief and Development. So there's information about that somewhere in your bulletin on the back page. Other than that, again, I'm so happy to have you here and happy Easter. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High.
Resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his arising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, let us pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre.
Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God.
Please stand as you are able. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May God, who has redeemed us and made us God's children through the resurrection of Jesus, bestow upon you the riches of God's blessing.
Amen.
May God, who through the water of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever.
Amen.
May God, who has brought us out of bondage into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.